Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast, and today's episode is all about email marketing, and specifically, when should you start that in your high-ticket dropshipping business? And I think this spawned from one of our elite calls, right? We have a paid elite membership for a bunch of our students, and it came up on this call specifically around email marketing, and you went on a rant, John, as you've been known to do, by the way. most rants are good from John, by the way, and John went on a rant and was just like, why are we even talking about email marketing given the stage we're discussing here in this call? And so I immediately wrote this into our podcast sheet, and I kind of wanted to bring it up of like, when do you actually start thinking about email marketing in your business?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think email marketing is certainly one of the areas that you can kind of get tied up, you know, wasting time or spinning your wheels or being distracted from the things that you should really be doing. It's kind of a question, I guess, of what stage are you at in your business. I think we've talked about on the podcast previously, if you go back, I can't remember how far back, but probably a little ways. You know, we've done some episodes where we've talked about, you know, what are the things that you should do in the first 6 months of your business? What are the things you should do, focus on to hit 6,000 a month in profit, for example, a reasonably recent episode, we answered that question. And there's certainly, for a high-ticket dropshipping business, and that's what we're talking about, there are some particular things you should really focus on if you're towards the start of your journey, right? Like if you've launched your business, you're in your first sort of 6 months, maybe even your first 12 months, I think there are certain things that you really need to just focus on and nail down before you even pay attention to anything else. And anything else that, for some of these, aside from, and we'll talk about kind of the basics, I think there's two levels with email marketing, kind of the same as retargeting or remarketing, which is, I think, another one of the things that you probably don't need to focus on super early. There's like the basic, and then there's like, you know, the more advanced version of that topic. So I think you can do some of the basics, and we'll talk about those in a second, but you know, if you're early on in your business, just to recap that stuff, it really is a case of making sure, you know, what you should be focusing on is getting as many suppliers as you can and products in your market to find where, you know, where the action is, where the good results are for you. Get your paid traffic dialed in. So Google Shopping, Bing Shopping, you know, those sort of things. Get that dialed in. Make sure you're getting good quality traffic into your funnel. You want to focus on your website, making sure it's set up to convert. You know, you've got your offer sorted out. And then you want to start taking some actions in the SEO space, right? I think those are kind of like the four big priorities. And until you've made at least very good headway into those things, I think focusing and spending time doing anything else really is not going to give you the results that you need. And so I think that's like for email marketing to work particularly well in its full sense for a high ticket dropshipping business, you need a lot of other things in place first. Like I think that the trap that people fall into with email marketing is kind of they go, oh, I've slapped on a site wide, opt into our email list for, general newsletter and undisclosed special benefits kind of thing. Oh, now I'm doing email marketing. It's kind of like that's not going to get you anywhere. And in fact, you're probably actually setting yourself up for failure in some ways with email marketing by doing that sort of thing. It's better off that you just don't do that at all. I did a website teardown recently, which was probably the episode before this one, I think. I think when that's been released. And I went onto this person's site and the first thing that popped up almost immediately on page load was a big pop-up, which was just that. It was like, oh, join our email list and get our newsletter and like maybe special offers every now and then or something like that. And it's just like, one, you're shooting yourself in the foot with Google there because they hate that, right? But like just, okay, so now you're getting people on your email list. What are you doing with it? Like when you're really early on, it's really hard to like be focused around email marketing, put a good system in place, and then actually regularly stick to it. Because that's what you got to do once you start. Once you start collecting emails and doing all this sort of stuff, you've got to utilize them. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, land yourself with deliverability problems and spam problems and all of this sort of thing down the track. So, you know.
I actually want to bring that up. You've mentioned this before, and I always find this part fascinating. We'll have students who say, hey, shouldn't I have just a general pop-up grabbing emails? And you're always like, well, cool, what are you going to do with them? They're like, well, I'll get to it when I get to it. Mm. And so the other day, I bought a product. I think it was 2 years ago when we were in Florida. It was called Joggy, and it's like a CBDG, maybe, just something that makes you feel like you get a runner's high, right? The same, you're supposed to get the same like feeling you get from jogging. They call it Joggy.
And you just go okay. Around.
Yeah, run, yes. Easy for you to say. Look, the product was okay, whatever. I hadn't heard from him in 2 years. I never finished the bottle. You know, like I'll try anything once. I'll grab a supplement here or there. I don't mind trying it. Mm. But I never heard of him. And then like the other day I got an email from him. I literally had to squint my eyes and be like, who's Joggy again? Like that's what's happening when you email all these people who haven't been in contact with you in so long. Think about the products that we're selling, right? If you're in the market for a Pellet Grill, maybe you bought one, maybe you didn't. Like 2 years later, if someone's like, you've missed out, come back and get 10% off a Traeger today. Like, is that going to be something that like hits you in the right moment at the right time? It's just not, right? And so you're more likely going to get hit with people who are like, who the fuck are you? Just like, you know, spam or at that point, you're going to end up in promotions for sure. Or you're definitely going to end up in the spam box. You know, Google's really tightened the rope on that. And so one of the things that you've talked about a lot is just not doing that. Like, what is the point of even having a pop-up if you don't have an entire plan behind the process? And to your point, it's just not important to be. What's important in the beginning is making sales. Like you've got to make sales. That's the only thing that matters.
If you've been getting tons of value from the podcast and you want to learn more about high ticket dropshipping and interact with a fantastic community of high ticket dropshippers, we've got a free Facebook group that you can join right now today. So if you head over to Facebook and search for Dropship Breakthrough, you'll see a Facebook come up that has on the end of it, High Ticket Dropshipping Mastery for New Entrepreneurs. Hit the join button. You'll get into the group. We do group only trainings in there. And there's thousands of other people who are going through the high ticket dropshipping journey that you can look for support from, ask questions, and find out if high ticket dropshipping is for you. So yeah, I kind of think of it like this. Like, let's say that's a great example, the Joggy example. But let's think about like you met someone 2 years ago, let's say, and like you hung out with them, or however long ago, like a significant period of time ago, and you hung out with them for like a day, right? Maybe with some of your friends. It was the first time you met them. They were kind of cool, right? You got on all right, and then you never saw them again. And then 2 weeks later, they popped up and said, "Hey, buddy, can you come and help me move house?" You'd firstly be like, huh, who is this? Who is this again? And then you would be like, yeah, nah, man. I'm not gonna randomly help you because we met once. Now you're coming up and you're asking me to do shit for you, which is essentially probably what you're going to do with your email marketing. The first time you're going to pop up, you're going to be like, hey, we've got a deal going on, blah, blah, blah. Come and buy it. Or, hey, have you seen this great product? You should buy it. Or blah, 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 right? You have to think of email marketing, I think, the best way, as with anything in business, think of it like you're building relationships with people, right? You have to think about that. So when somebody gets onto your email list, you know, particularly if they're somebody you're proactively trying to get on there before they're your customer, right? So you don't even have that relationship yet, the customer relationship yet. Like you get them in there, they sign up, they're like, yeah, you have to then treat it like you're building a relationship. And part of that is communication, ongoing communication, right? Like you think about it person to person. We build relationships with people over time by interacting with them and communicating with them, by sharing ideas, you know? And that doesn't mean always that your email marketing is going to be a two-way street, like everybody's going to reply back to every email you send them. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But it works really well when you're in a place where you can do that. And so that's what I say to people is if you're not yet ready to be consistent and consistently engage with people to build a relationship, then it's actually better in a lot of ways that you don't do email marketing until you are in that place. And you will get to that place with a high ticket dropshipping business for sure. but it's just not something you want to rush with, because you're going to get that effect of people being like, if you're really inconsistent, you pop up in their inbox once every 6 months or something. People are just going to be like, well, who is this guy? Who are these people? And the automatic response to that is spam. I'm going to mark you. I'm just going to keep deleting your emails. I'm not going to open them. I'm just going to delete them. And that will put you into the spam folder with Gmail. And once you're in there, it's hard to work your way back out of there again. You can, but it's going to probably take you cutting out all of those contacts that are putting you in the spam in the first place and kind of starting afresh in a lot of ways. And let alone if you end up getting blacklisted or something like that, which is not easy, but it's possible. You know, if you get in that bucket, then you're really screwed. So,
speaking of buckets, though, I like to talk about leaky buckets, right? And so in the beginning, you're going to have leaky buckets everywhere. So my friend George referenced everyone that comes to your site. To you, it's just a number on Clarity or Google Analytics. But if you have 100 people show up to your site, again, if you're running traffic the way we teach you with Google Ads, you're hopefully getting the right traffic to the right pages. That is 100 people. We'll just use 100. That's 100 people raising their hand saying, I'm interested in your products. And if you're running keywords the correct way, they're very interested in your products. And for the most part, 99 out of 100 of those people are going to leave. And if you don't have things in place to reconnect with them, you're just losing them forever. So you mentioned remarketing. You mentioned email marketing, that there is this... do we call it a benchmark? There is like a minimum that you need to do with these things, right? So you have been talking about like intensive email marketing, right? Like email captures. We could go deep on this stuff if you want us to, by the way, just let us know in the comments. You know, even having a single pop-up about not talking to those people is not needed, but there are some emails that are needed, right? There are some remarketing you should be doing out of the gates just to fill those buckets so that maybe one or two or three or four or five of those other 99 people who didn't purchase from you might come back and you can continue to help them with the information they need and work them through the funnel so that you can hopefully get another purchase. And so there are some emails that are like that. I think there's a few places you could do this, John. The most obvious is an abandoned cart sequence. Where do you start with that, right? Like, it'd be very easy to throw up one email. Some people just want to use the Shopify emails. I'm curious your thoughts on that as well. I know you and I also use different programs. You're more of a fan of Drip and things like that, and I'm more of a fan of Klaviyo, at least for some things. Where do you start with abandoned cart emails? Because this is something everyone listening, even if you've just popped out your store, this is something we should get to rather quickly just to, again, plug some holes in the bucket.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you think about abandoned cart emails, certainly you want more rather than less. Email being what email is, people's inboxes are very full. Sending one email, okay, 30% of people are going to pay attention to that. When it's abandoned checkouts, I mean, like the stakes are too high. You don't want to leave it to maybe half the people who I send this to are going to see. You want everybody to start to receive those messages. You want to do as much as you can for that. I mean, we'll leave aside the fact you should be calling them, but think of where the customer's likely at. I mean, that's the starting point, right? So you want to think about where the customer's at, think about what might be going on in their head that may have prevented them from completing that sale, right? And that's the answer to what needs to be in your emails. What push might they need to get over the edge, right? So in the first instance, I mean, your first email or two is simply, you know, providing them, needs to provide them with an avenue to get back to the checkout. I mean, they might've been looking at your site while they were at work and they're like, I'll finish this later. They might've been at home with their kids and one of their kids chopped off their finger and they've got to rush them off to hospital. Like, you just don't know, right? And sometimes there are just real reasons. They might have been going through a tunnel. They lost reception on their phone. Like, I don't know. There can be all sorts of life reasons why they just didn't click that last button. And all they need is just a little reminder. Hey, you can come back and grab this now in their inbox. They can click the button, go straight to the checkout page and complete that order, right? So that's your first probably two emails. I would do that twice in that sequence. You should hit that first one nearly immediately, like within an hour. Some people leave them for like 24 hours. I think Shopify's default if you use the Shopify mail is like, it's not very close to when they were actually on the site. I can't remember what it is, but you want to change that. Should be pretty close. And then do another one within sort of 12 hours, sometime in that space. After that, you know, you want to think about, and you could even, once again, you could even do different abandoned checkouts. I mean, I'll keep it simple, but you could do different abandoned checkouts for different product types, for example, or things like that on your site as well. It doesn't have to be one for everything, but you're going to start with one for everything. You want to think about, like, okay, so, you know, what questions do customers tend to have? You know, what objections do people have maybe around? And this is going to be a niche specific thing, right? It's going to be different for different people, but, you know, maybe people want to see that we're a legitimate business. So I'll send them an email with some reviews and that link to come back and finish their checkout. Maybe I know that there's commonly asked questions from my niche, and I'm going to answer those in an email or two, once again, and put the link back to the checkout. So you insert that stuff in, but retain the bit where it's like, and you come back and complete your order, blah, 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 blah. Here's the button. They click the button. They go back to the checkout. So you retain that stuff. You know, maybe in some markets, it can be as simple as if you're in a market where you know typically people like to talk to you on the phone before they complete an order, like you're in one of those niches that you have, you know, 50% of your orders are draft orders because you're talking to people on the phone all the time. Once again, not unusual for high-ticket dropshipping. I can certainly think of quite a few niches that drop into that sort of category. I would just send them an email and say, hey, we'd love to have a chat with you. Can you give us a call on this number and we'll talk through, you know, insert product, blah, 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 and how it can work for you. You know, that could be one of the emails. Like, encourage people to call you. Look, at the end of that, you know, the question that people will most likely come up with is, should I offer a discount? If you're going to do that, I don't have a problem with that in this instance, but I would put it at the end of the abandoned cart sequence. Once again, I'm not a fan of cutting your own throat before you need to, if you like. So I don't lead with a discount. Like, some people will be like, oh, you're abandoning your checkout. Here's 10% off if you come back and complete it now. Like, as the first email, it's kind of like, well, that person was probably going to come back and do it anyway, and you've just given away 10% of your profit. Don't do that. Oh, not 10% of your profit. Sorry, more of your profit. You're giving away 10% of your revenue. Don't lead with that. Use that as a last resort. Like, your last few emails in that sequence can be like, oh, hey, look, we'd like to offer you a special discount for the next 48 hours. You know, we'd love you to complete this purchase. Here's some incentive. You got 48 hours to use it. Then you send them a couple of reminders after that. Now you got 24 hours to use it. Now you got 12 hours to use it.
So my favorite thing to do when you just don't know is go to ChatGPT and just ask, right? And so, like, I'm a big fan of anything not front-facing for SEO. You can use ChatGPT to have these emails written this afternoon. But all I did over here, and maybe you saw me typing, well, if you're watching us on video, I wrote, I own an e-commerce store selling pellet grills. I want to create a 10-email abandoned cart flow. Can you summarize what all 10 should be about? That's all I wrote. Here's the 10 ideas. Cart reminder, you forgot something in your cart. 2, benefit highlight, see what you're missing out on. 3, limited time offer, grab an exclusive offer on your cart items. 4, product features, discover what makes our pellet grill special. 5, social proof, why everyone loves our pellet grills. 6, answer common questions, just like John mentioned. 7, show them a comparison guide. Email 8, talk about the company values. Email 9, a last chance reminder for the special discount. Email 10, you could ask for feedback. Can you help us improve? How did we get to email 10 and you haven't purchased from us before? And then I said, do you have 10 more ideas? And it gave me showcase accessories, financing options, behind the scenes, expert endorsements, invitation to a webinar or demo, seasonal recipes, loyalty program, stress-free return policy, customer service highlight, flash sale notification. That took me 30 seconds while John was talking about this to come up with these ideas. And so we're in an age where it's like, you know, you can go search YouTube or you can just go ask a large language model for ideas. And they're going to give you ideas very quickly. In fact, if I asked ChatGPT to write all these, they'd be done right now. And now I need to just go into Klaviyo, go into Drip and get this done. And so, you know, I think we have an episode coming up in the future here, John. Maybe it's the next one. What we're calling mental masturbation. I think, you know, sitting here and thinking about how you need to get this done is one of those things where it's there doesn't need to be that much ideation for you to do more than most people are doing, because the majority of people just aren't doing even the basics. They're not even plugging these little holes in the bucket.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm a big fan of that as well, particularly when you're, you know, once again, going into something new that you haven't done before. A lot of people will go around in circles thinking, oh, I need to think really hard about these emails and, you know, I need to put lots of time and energy into them, writing them myself and all of that sort of thing. And that's great. But the reality is that that's probably going to stop you from doing it for most people. Most people are not good at writing, right? Like, I reckon like 10% of people are truly good at communicating in the written language, enjoy doing it, and it just flows, like with no restrictions, and you can just go and do it. Like writing blog posts and things like that. Most people can't just sit down and write one. They sit down and go, oh, what the fuck, I have to think about this for like an hour. I get five words on the page and it's taking me forever. And that's why you shouldn't write your own blog posts either, right? Maybe not get ChatGPT to write them completely, but you should, you know, pass that on to somebody who is good at writing, you know, outsource that. It's the same with email marketing, except, yeah, you can leverage AI tools at this point more than maybe some other writing tasks. And so it doesn't need to be perfect. I mean, that outline that Ben just threw out there, I would probably, you know, quibble with some of the ordering of some of that, but largely all of those ideas sound fantastic. I would do that. Like, I got no problems with that. And just getting it done in this case is like 5,000 times better than having no abandoned cart sequence, because you just keep putting it off because you don't want to sit there and think about what should go in those emails, right? Like that sequence would catch some sales. And so, yeah, I think, you know, the abandoned cart sequence is important. I think the other one that I would do early, you know, we talk about the basics and then like the full email marketing. The other bit of the basics that I would be doing early is your customer kind of like welcome sequence. Like having a little sequence there. When somebody first becomes a customer, where you like go out of your way to, you know, like give them a good experience, like post-purchase. I think I would have something set up there fairly early on as well, because once again, those people have entered into a relationship with you, and I don't think you want to ignore that. Simply because, you know, they may be your customer again in the future, but also in most businesses, there's going to be an opportunity for them to be your customer again immediately, right? And I don't think you want to overlook that either. So I would usually look at like having some sort of customer welcome sequence. You might have a few variations of that based on what, you know, different product categories on your site. But I'd probably say that's the other bit of email marketing that I would want to have in place something reasonably early.
Can you give some examples of that? Because I know there's people listening right now that are like, yeah, cool. I made a sale. What should I write, John? What should I, first, you know, I think back in the day, thank you from the owner was like a really popular thing. And I remember writing those of just like, hey, I'm Ben. I'm the owner of Pellet Grill Pros. Thank you so much. Like there's a million businesses out there today. You chose to order from ours. We want to make sure we take care of you. We're a small business, so I'm always available on the phone if you need anything. Yes, this hit reply. Yes, it does actually come back to me. I'd love to help you out if I can. Something like that. Just like something more personal. Where else would you go with these emails that like, to give an example to people who are listening, who are like, John, where do I even go with this? Like, I also think there's some people who are like, they got a sale and now they're fearful they're going to get a return, or they're going to get it. Like they almost want to leave it alone to not mess up what has just gone well for them, especially early in the beginning. Right. It's scary. So what can you give some examples of how you would structure this? And I'm also asking ChatGPT just out of curiosity.
Yeah. Look, once again, I think there's going to be a lot of variation market to market, or niche to niche here, but absolutely. That's what I'm starting with, is just to, here's a note. I'm the owner, like make it personal. You know, introduce yourself. You know, you don't have to share a lot about yourself and who you are and all of that sort of thing. I don't think there's anything, you know, if you're in your niche, you totally should, like, you know, share a bit of your story about how you're in your niche. Like, I love, you know, I'm selling these golf products. I also go out and, you know, play golf all the time, and you know, these are some of my favorite courses or whatever. Like share a bit of stuff, and if it's relevant to. But that's absolutely the first one. I'm going to think about like post-purchase care. Like, so when the customer gets your product, and you've done this really well, I think, at Paramount Pet Health. Like, I think you do it in a different way. You do it with Bonjour or something like that, but you can do it in email. Like, when the customer gets your product, you actually want them to use it, right? And you want them to be successful at using it. So, because if they're, what you should also be doing, like, at some point, a week or two after they've bought it, and I recommend doing this, is getting on the phone with them or getting a member of your team to call them and hit them up for a review, right? So, get a video review, get a text-based review, whatever, and make sure they're happy, which once again is just another thing that nobody does with customers, which if you do it, you're going to stand out in your market. You're going to get that word of mouth happening and so on and such forth. But think about, like, what are common mistakes that people have with these products after they first buy them? Like, you know, do they need to install them? Can you provide them some helpful content that's going to help them be successful at that? You know, might they need help finding somebody to help them install it? Think about, once again, just think about the customer's journey and as much as you know about that, like, and say, like, when somebody gets this product, what questions might they have about it? Like, what are some great ways to use it? Like, I mean, you can really go wild with this stuff. It's really going to depend on what you're selling. The other thing I'm going to think about is, like, do I have other products that go with this product? Do I have accessories? Do I have add-on products? Do I have supporting products? Do I just have another, reasonably high-ticket product that might be great with it? Because once again, you know, that first little bit of time after somebody buys from you, they're really hot for you, right? You know, put it back in people terms, you know, the first time you have an adult night with somebody, if it went well, you're going to be wanting more of that, right? And you're going to be trying to put yourself right back in there again. Both of you are. You're going to go for round two and round three and whatever. It's the same with customers, right? If they had a good experience, they're really excited about their product, they're in a spending mindset, right? And you hit them up with, hey, that fantastic product you just bought, did you know that there's this, this, and this that make it even better? Or make the outcome, focus on the outcome, right? The outcome even better, we can add those to your order. Like, I mean, that's you could do that before they even get off your website as well, of course. And you should, but email is an opportunity to do that also.
Feels like ChatGPT was built off of John, because everything John's telling you right now, ChatGPT gave you almost the exact same answers. I will say one thing. So to John's point, I learned this a long time ago. I don't remember which mastermind I was at, but it was, you have no right to ask for a review, to do any of those things, until you've actually helped your customer with their problem. And the only way that they're going to like be helped with their problem is if they use the product. They need to use the product, right? And so if you think Pellegrills, what is the number one thing you can do to get them to use the product? Probably share a story of your favorite recipe that you make on the pellet grill. Can you offer them, and this kind of moves into the love your customer stuff that I think we've talked about on Elite Calls, is like, you know, could you partner with one of the many meat companies in America to offer them a coupon and send that with and be like, hey, by the way, the number one thing I like to make on here is a brisket. It's hard finding a good brisket. You know, certainly check out your local butcher. If you want to check out, certifiedpiedmontese.com, here's a discount code right away. If you want to go grab some and have it shipped right to your door, here's my favorite recipe to go with it. Like, just get them to actually use the product, because they came to you to experience a feeling. And again, this is very product specific, but they came to us to feel what it feels like to take some smoked meat off their grill and share it with their family. And like, how can we get them to take that action as soon as possible? Enjoy something that tastes unbelievable because you gave them the perfect recipe. And then they're going to be like, man, I love this pellet grill. I got it from BK shop. I'm going to go tell my buddy next door, who's inevitably going to ask me, what's on the grill over there? Where'd you get that grill? Like, that's going to happen, right? And so if you can think through this in your industry, these are wonderful opportunities to, again, make sure your customer uses the product, take care of them, get them enthusiastic about it, because word of mouth is going to be the biggest lever you pull in your business. And it starts with customer number one.
Yeah. And I think I can already hear to some of that stuff, like the resistance coming up for some people being like, well, I don't even use these products myself. Like, I mean, how am I going to talk about like, what's the best way to do this? And I can't possibly do that. You can just go out and find somebody else who's done it, right? Like, it doesn't even have to be your stuff. Like, hey, I found this great recipe on YouTube. It's really cool. I think you'll love it. It's really well explained. Here's the link to it. Follow along with that. That's it. Like, maybe there's a video on YouTube of somebody setting up the product that you've just sold. Send them a link to that. It doesn't matter that it wasn't yours in that instance. What matters, as Ben said, is have you helped them solve a problem? Are you helping them solve their next problem? Their first problem was getting the product. You've helped them with that, but the journey doesn't end there. And you have to, I think the mistake a lot of people make when they get into business here, they're starting their first business, is they think that the journey ends when the customer buys the product. And it's just a case of moving on to the next customer. And yeah, that's going to work for you for a period of time. But in any market, when you start getting bigger, you know, there's less next customers all the time. And so where you really grow your business is on your existing customers a lot of the time. And so the earlier in your business you think about it like that, you're just going to build a better business. If you realize that the customer journey doesn't end with the first purchase, that's the start of the customer's journey with you. And so, you know, you've got to keep filling in those touch points after they've bought from you as well.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.